chapter 7, Paul writes how Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1 introduces us to who Melchizedek was. He was king of Salem, or later Jerusalem. Melchizedek was king-priest, as Christ will be. His name in Hebrew means king of righteousness. Later in verse 3, Paul once again symbolizes Christ to Melchizedek when he says he was made like unto the Son of God. We don't have much written on Melchizedek. One of the only times is in Genesis 14:18. We are given only a little story about him. Lot is taken during a battle called the Slaughter of Kings, while in Sodom. Abraham saves Lot from his captivity. When he comes back with Lot, Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine, and said, "Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God." Verse 2 of chapter 7 tells how Abraham then gave tithes to Melchizedek. This voluntary act of giving a tenth part of all shows Abraham's recognition that Melchizedek was a very important and powerful person. Verse 3 talks about how Melchizedek's priesthood was not from genealogy or descent. Under the law, the priesthood was reserved to the tribe of Levi. Melchizedek had no known genealogy, no mention of father or mother. Melchizedek had no record of beginning or ending of his priesthood. In the Levitical priesthood, the priest started serving at 30 and ended at 50 or death. The Melchizedek order established a principle of a priesthood unrelated and superior to the Levitical priesthood. Verse 4 through 10's topic is how Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. Consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth part of his spoils. Paul used Melchizedek's blessing Abraham and getting tithes as proof that Melchizedek was superior to Abraham, the father of the Jews. Therefore, Christ superior to Abraham. Verse 5 states fairly that they that are the sons of Levi, these are the priests of under the law, they were to receive tithes from the people by the commandment under the law, even though they were brethren of Abraham. Melchizedek was not from the tribe of Levi, as shown in verse 6, he whose descent is not counted from them. His priesthood in receiving tithes was not determined by tribal descent. Melchizedek received or hath taken tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Mentioning the promises shows the greatness of Abraham, but we are then told that Melchizedek was even greater. In verse 11 through 17 shows another priesthood had to come after the order of Melchizedek, who would be greater than Aaron. If perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, perfection was unachievable under the Mosaic law. It was unable to provide the redemption for sins. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's Romans 8:3. What further need was there that another priest should arise? If it provided perfection over sin and death, it would have stood supreme. But another or different priest would arise, as in Psalms 110:4, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This priest would not be in the order of Aaron and under the Mosaic law. The prophecy of a new priesthood was needed for the redemption of the chosen people. With a new priesthood would come a change also of the law. Verse 13, "For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe." Christ was from the tribe of Judah, where the priesthood was limited to Levi. And another tribe is the one of whom Melchizedek pointed in type, king of Salem, to the royal tribe of Judah, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. The tribe of Judah had never served the altar. That was the responsibility of Levi, set under the law of Moses. Verse 14, "For it is evident, or clearly revealed, that the Lord sprang out of Judah." The word spring is used for both light arising and vegetation. Christ is spoken of in these metaphoric terms many times. He is the Son of Righteousness, which rises with the healing in his beams. He's the rod of the stem of Jesse. He is the branch of David, and also the man whose name is the branch, who sits as a king and priest under upon his throne. We continue verse 14 by reinforcing that the tribe of Judah was never spoken of concerning the priesthood. In verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Christ would be, come after the likeness or resemblance of Melchizedek, with both double honor of priest and king, unlike any Levitical priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Melchizedek's priesthood was ordered on divine principle. It was not set up by law. The carnal commandment pertains to the flesh. It doesn't refer to the law itself, which Paul says was holy, just, and good. The carnal commandment is the reference to the appointment of the Levitical priest and their physical attributes. Not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. The power can also be translated mighty work, strength, or ability. This signifies energy compared to the weakness of the law, because the flesh could not conform to the demands of perfect obedience. This refers to Christ's priesthood that never changes, never ceases, and has complete authority. Verse 18, for there is verily a putting away of the commandment going before. This refers to the Levitical priesthood, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Due to sinful flesh, man was not able to fully obey the principles of the law. The law shows the need for a Redeemer, but did not fill that need. Christ's sacrifice brought in a better hope by completing the law and advancing this to the next step in the divine plan. Verse 20 through 22 discusses how Christ is appointed a priest. For those priests were made without an oath. The Levitical priest assumed their position by chance of birth. God gave an oath about Christ in Psalms 110:4. The Lord has sworn, and with no repent, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 23 through 25 describes Christ's unchangeable priesthood. And they truly were many priests. The Levitical priesthood had a succession of priests due to being mortal. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The order does not pass away from him, but continues forever. Verse 26 through 28 illustrates the fitness of Christ as high priest. For such an high priest became us who is holy. A holy reflecting the personal holiness, harmless, not evil, whose ways and motives are free from kindness. Christ was undefiled, not soiled, free from blemish. He was separate from sinners. He was separate from others in that he did not sin. He was devoted entirely to the service of God. Who needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice? Christ offered himself once when his own blood was shed. It accomplished all the benefits seen in the action of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. For the law maketh men high priests, which are weak. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made forever or perfect forever. The oath established Christ as high priest. When Christ was risen from the dead and made immortal, it was possible to make the perfect eternal priesthood.